one really interesting thing is Tom DeBlakehart loves the word, the way that I say the word, fantastic.
If you hear him say
it. I mean, it's a very, very remote fact there. It's the only one that's coming to mind right now.
I was told by a coworker, I was like, I can put him on the spot and he'll come up with it. So either way, we just listen to him up for his presentation.
I'll come up with something else later.
Tim Lugs is an instructional leader. He is also facilitated middle school's teaching for transformation masterclasses for the past 3 years. Helping middle school teachers to invite their students to be part of, to be the people who are part of God's story. Being a TFT teacher myself, I can share with you, he is excellent at engaging kids in God's story. So this is, let me officially introduce you, Tim Lugs.
Thanks. All right, hi everybody. Am I loud enough without the microphone?
Yes.
Is that okay? I just would prefer not to stand behind a lectern. It's a very nice lectern, but I don't need it. So anyway, welcome. It's nice to have you here. I've been working with Teaching for Transformation for 7 or 8 years now, with Legacy Christian School and the South Suburban Christian Schools in Grand Rapids. I also am just starting as a school designer with teaching for, with CASE as well. This is my first year with that. And I've really, really loved the way in which Teaching for Transformation has helped me to see my students as fellow journeyers in God's story. And the joy of storyboards is that it gives a way of articulating that. Now, when I say, when I'm giving this talk, please know I'm not an expert. I'm just another person on the journey. And so even in the images that I've got that I'm going to be showing you today, some of these are this year's process, this year's journey, and we're not there yet. But as we tend to do, in Teaching for Transformation, we want to take some time just to get to know one another. So what I'd love for you to do, and I actually, since we've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 people here, can we just kind of announce our own, just share to everybody in this room instead of turning and talking? That's okay? All right. Well, great. I'm sorry, I was in the way, wasn't I? Yeah. Okay, so... So we don't have to get in an official standing circle or anything like that. I think we're all family here, so we can do this. But I think you know my name already, my school, my teaching areas, and my level of familiarity with Teaching for Transformation. So I'm going to take out my amazing invisible ball. Yes. And my amazing invisible ball is amazing because when you throw it up in the air, it changes size. Yeah, it's really cool. And nobody really knows what size the ball is until the next person catches it. And if it's really heavy like that, you know, you can just make it small again. So I'm going to throw the ball. Who would like to get the ball? Okay, Tom. There you go.
Okay. My name is Tom DeBlakehart. I teach middle school social studies at Myers Center Christian School. I have been with TFT kind of when our South Suburban Area School started it. I actually don't know what year this is in TFT.
Yeah, it was about 2016. We're 7 or 8.
So my familiarity with it is high. My growth in it is continuing. Like, there's me things that I'm going to keep learning, hearing from Tim and from other coworkers who I work with. But it's pretty, I will just give it as a huge plug, it's pretty phenomenal for the ways that it makes us more effective at what we do with engaging kids in that story. You still ready?
Oh, wow.
All right, I'm Erin Studer. I teach the third grade Spanish immersion class for Muskegon Christian. I have been in this, like, my 7th year, and our school adopted TFT like a year after I started, I would say, but I've been probably doing this for 5-ish years, but again, I'm still learning, and I would love to hear from Tim.
Okay. Great, thank you. It is.
My name is Stephanie Miedema. I teach kindergarten at Dutton Christian up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We also are teaching for Transformation School when the South Suburban Schools are like a little network. Started it apparently back in 2016. So I would say, yeah, you know, thank goodness for Tim. I would say also I'm quite familiar with it, but and learning every year. I focus on a different part to kind of grow in, and this year's storyboards for me to kind of build that makes sense for my kindergartners. Okay, so you know, I have to throw the big word.
Oh, there's one.
I'm Sherry Olden. I teach young fives at Morning Christian School, and yes, I've been doing it since 2017, not 16 is when we began. So, yeah, familiar with it, love it, it's working, and I'm excited to learn a little bit more about storybooks.
I am Christy Prince. I also teach at Morning Christian School. I teach kindergarten. So in the same level as Sherry with familiarity with teaching for transformation. With trying to focus in more on learning more about one area a little bit better each year now.
So, pass the ball. This one is giant.
Okay. I'm Joy Oster, and I also teach at Only Christian. And I teach first grade and very simple. When it started, we were at Uber, doing it.
I am Jen Ritzmark. I am at Brookfield Christian School in Wisconsin. I am currently the Learning Support Coordinator and doing some instructional coaching, particularly around faith integration. And I am familiar, but not, as I know it is, what it is, and I've seen it practiced, especially at some of our other Wisconsin schools, and so I'm just interested in finding out some more information to see how the potential fit for my school is.
I'm Amber Gold, and I teach at Fremont Christian in Fremont, Michigan. And I am the outdoor education director, so I do a little bit of that. And then I also teach a little bit of fifth grade, and I'm also a teaching for transformation coach, so I wear a lot of hats. And 5 years ago, I started as an early adopter, and so this will be our fifth year in.
My name is David Miedema, and I don't think we're related. I teach social studies at Western Michigan Christian High School. I think my familiarity with PFT, I've probably known of it and worked with it for about 5 years. I'd say I'm really only on year two or three of actually doing this stuff in my classroom. And I get the opportunity to, my first year, be a TFT coach at a high school.
Great.
My name is Brian Crump. I'm from Oakland Christian School, which is in Otter Hills, Michigan. And it's my 38th year, and I've taught a lot of math and science classes over the years. And currently, I'm teaching junior senior Bible and also serving as our PE coordinator.
Nice.
I'm our TFT lead, and this is year five for us, and we've had so much turnover. It's been good enough.
Thanks, Brian. And thanks to all of you. We all come from a different level. Some of us who are just learning for the, you know, beginning stages. Some of us who've been here for a really long time involved in this. And the question that we all need to be faced with, though, is asking that what we have right up there in black. How often do your students reflect on their learning? And how often do your students reflect on their faith development context, or in the context of their learning? And so our hope for today the targets that we've got are starting to imagine how converting a bulletin board or converting a blank wall or converting even a computer screen into a place for reflection in our classes, how that can help our students to reflect on and grow into their understanding of God's story. And then also, my hope is that, and last year I did this for the first time, and we ran out of time for the second learning target. So I pulled a bunch of stuff out so that we can actually collaborate and start to think about the storyboard that we might already have, or if we haven't even thought about this before, maybe start to imagine what that could look like. And we all bring different things into that, into this time. So let's try to learn from each other as well. So first of all, just in case you don't know much about a storyboard, it's a place that narrates the story of our formation of learning. They visually link your class's perspective to God's story, and they grow over time. You can see with this example right here, we start at the beginning of the year with a tree that doesn't have many leaves. And as students add reflections to it, the tree starts blossoming. The tree starts growing larger and larger. And there are examples that I've seen where a whole room it is just covered. And I remember as a beginning teacher before TEFD thinking, oh, I hate messy bulletin boards. But I had to kind of embrace my inner Miss Frizzle and say, learning is messy sometimes. And learning is how, and messy is how students can see the story better. Now, a storyboard's not a refrigerator door. It's not putting the perfect work up. It's not a place for students to see work that's not meaningful. And by meaningful, I'm talking about those things that really are going to be transformative. When we say teaching for transformation, a lot of times we don't really think about the words. That what we are doing is we're teaching our kids so that they can be transformed. Teaching towards transforming our students. And not teaching for the sake of transformation itself. It's teaching so that transforming is a part of our habit. And then finally, storyboards are not a one and done task. And for me, that's a hard, hard thing to do. Because for me, I teach a lesson in 42 minutes as an 8th grade algebra teacher or as a 7th grade science teacher. And I'm looking and I know how to get the class done in that amount of time. And it's difficult for me to sometimes say, okay, it helps to take a step back. So, this is a reminder for myself as much as it is for you to ask, how might my students' reflections over a quarter, over a semester, over a school year, help them to see how their learning reflects God's story and empowers them to live that story? It was at a CEA convention in the 1960s when a professor from Calvin College back then, Nicholas Waltersdorf, talked about this pious wish that our kids somehow get indoctrinated with all of the understanding of Christ, the understanding of what it means to be a Christian in the world, without reflection. The reflection is such an important thing, and it's something that goes all the way back to the biblical narrative as well. We think about these standing stones, the story of Joshua parting the or leading the Ark of the Covenant as they cross the Jordan River, and the priests stepping into the water with the Ark of the Covenant, and as soon as they step in, the waters part just like the Red Sea 40 years earlier. As they go through, each tribe picked up a stone and they brought it over and they placed it. And they placed and they built a monument. And the monument had a purpose. The purpose was so that when your kids go by and say, what does that pile of rocks mean? We can say, this is where the Lord brought us to the next part of our journey. And storyboards are playing a similar role in that, allowing our students to have that focal point, that point where they can see God, God's faithfulness, and respond in a life of dedication to Him through the experience of outdoor education, right? Which is an easy one, because it's really fun. Tish Harrison Warren had this little quote about habit and about the importance of us always returning to these reflection practices every day. We don't wake up daily and form a way of being in the world from scratch, and we don't think our way through every action of our day. We move in patterns that we've set over time, day by day. These habits and these practices shape our loves, our desires, and ultimately who we are and what we worship. And the habit and the practice of a storyboard can do just that. Oh, there we go. So how does it start? Well, like all things TFT, we start with deep hope. And from there, we move out to those core practices. We move to storyline. Flex and through lines we're not going to really address in this time, although those do play a really important role in a storyboard. But you can see right there, those are my science, that's my science deep hope and my science class storyline. And my work is asking my students to engage in sharing my passion for seeing God revealing Himself to them and then them taking time to respond. And so when we start about thinking about these, we have to start by thinking, is a deep hope simple enough that our students could articulate it? Or, at the very least, is it simple enough that they get the idea of it? Well, maybe even not at the very least, maybe even lower than that, they know where to find it in your classroom. So, and none of my students could memory work that. They wouldn't recite my deep hope. But they can talk about, oh, this is about God's fingerprints. I know that you're talking about, in all of your classes, how we are looking for God's fingerprints and we want to do our finger painting with those fingerprints. And that helps me a lot to know that I'm doing the right thing. This is my storyboard for my algebra classes here. I'm trying to be a person of try here. This is my first time actually having a separate storyboard and separate storyline for my algebra class. And so by setting this in here, I'm giving my students a place where they can reflect on God's story in algebra and then also learn from one another. Now, I'm not putting up every student's work because I'm hoping that we're engaging in things quite a lot. So this is just one of the engagements. I've got a picture of my Prius console right there. Because in introducing this long-term learning target, I told my students about the first time that I drove a Prius. We were at an evening meeting, and a friend of mine had a brand new Prius. And this is like, you know, this is a while back. This is like first time with Priuses. And he said, oh, I need to move the car out of the driveway so somebody else can get out. Okay, great. And I said, can I drive it? And so he said, yeah, sure. So he hands me the keys, which is a key fob. Okay? And I look at it, and I say, okay, well, great. And I walk over to the car, I get in the car, and I'm thinking, where do I stick this in the car? And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I can't figure it out. So I actually have to march back in. How do you stick this in the car? And he laughed at me. He said, you don't have to, you just press the power button. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So I pull back, and I see the power button. I'm not that dumb. I know what a power button looks like. I push it, car turns on. And I say, great. And I look for the gear shifter, and I see the gear shifter, and I move. I try moving it. And it just, the way that Prius gear shifters work, you move it forward and it's like a joystick. Pops right back. And I was used to cars that you push the button, you push it forward, you know, and it stays there. I was so confused. I had to go back inside for a second time. How do I get it into gear? And you know, and it's like, dummy, you know how to do this. But it taught me that trying something new and difficult, it required me trusting that I wasn't going to get laughed at for making those rookie mistakes with driving a Prius. And now, I never give it a second thought of how to start a Prius or how to get it into gear because it's become a habit. So I asked my students, hey, what have you learned in our process of algebra about being a community? And they have some nice things. I mean, this is one of these points that you kind of want to just put in a scrapbook or something. It says, I and the others trust Mr. Lukes and people who know what they're doing in algebra. And I add, and when we ask them questions, we trust that those people will help us understand as we unbreak together. And the unbreaking together is the storyline. It has to do with the meaning of the word algebra in the original Arabic. It's the same word as mending a broken arm. Mending broken parts is what it's about. This one is not my storyline. This is a storyline I've gotten, or a storyboard. This is a storyboard I've gotten from some resources that I've got. A colleague of mine has this one. But there's always a sense of journey that as we keep making our way deeper into the year's learning, then we're going to see more and more artifacts fill up. And one of the big keys with this one that I love is all of those learning targets, those ways of thinking, what are the most essential things that we are looking for in the story of this class or the story of this subject. Here's just how the journey of my storyboard has progressed so far. This is where I started, my deep hope. Students actually created the Unbreaking Together sign up there, and a single picture. Reflection on that picture. Prius story. reflection on another activity. And we're only a month and a half in, right? But I've already got three engagements with this idea of Unbreaking Together. And I'm using that terminology. And they're picking up on it because they hear those words and they see those words on the side of the room.
Can I ask
a
question?
Yep.
So do you find that it's useful for the students? Do they browse it and look at it? Or is it more, I don't know, like sometimes we do stuff just to remind us as a teacher. Like my deep hope's out there so that I remember it my deep hope, you know.
Yeah.
Which do you find?
It's a little bit of both, honestly. You're going to have students who go and they're going to look up at it and never look at it again. And that's why it's so important to keep populating it, to keep adding things throughout the journey. But it also is helpful for me because it gives me a moment, especially in algebra right now, to really think about what are we doing here. So many of our liturgies of doing American math tend to follow the routine of take out your homework, check your homework, here's the new lesson, work on your homework, rinse and repeat, right? And that's a very individual effort except for the class instruction. The students are checking their work, the students are taking their notes, the students are doing their own homework, and they're not reaching out with each other. And so, although I'm still giving individual assessments So there still is the individual component in coming to understand difficult concepts. When a student is struggling, we've made it one of our habits in class just to say, I'm not getting this right now. And then we take time to figure out who is getting it and then allow them to work with each other and teach each other. And so engaging in that habit and then reflecting on it, because that's where you have to take the time, where I have to take the time to do that. It's starting to change the whole routine of my algebra class. From I gotta do well into we've gotta do well. And the reason why we do well is because it helps us to know the author of algebra. It helps us to know the author of our journey. The question, when are we ever going to use this, is a bad word in my class. Because it's the wrong question. I read a whole article on how it theorized that the change of the ways in which we do transportation over the last 200 years, that's the reason why we get so many of the, when are we ever going to use this now? Because now, I got in my car this morning, and I wasn't thinking about laughing at the sign for Covert and taking a picture and sending it to my buddy. Because I do that every year, but I was thinking about you guys today, and I was thinking about getting to South Bend. I wasn't thinking about the journey. I was only thinking about the destination. What if we take more time to live the way that Jesus led his disciples on a journey? Where they would walk, Jesus would pick up a rock, and his disciples would also pick up a rock. And they had no idea why, but they knew that their rabbi was going to help them. And they knew that there was deep meaning in that, and they trusted in the rabbi enough. That's what we're trying to get to in algebra this year. That's the liturgy of the routine. I don't think I need to say any more about that. Sometimes I've done this, though. I've put a little icon in the top of a corner, and I say, this is one of those reflective activities that I want you to put a little bit of thought into this. I want you to refine this in a way that's not just that 60-minute work, but it's going to be a lot more lasting. There we go. And these are some other components that I've seen in storyboards. The learning targets, and there's through lines. Through lines, those habits of living that allow us to see different ways in which we can worship God. We can be image reflectors. We can be servant workers. We can be justice seekers. In all of those other ways. Adding scripture passages onto a storyboard can be really helpful. Flex celebration, giving some artifacts. You can see that a lot of these things come from the high school bias. But again, there are not everybody's artifacts, but there is a representative sample that allows students to do some more reflection. Photos are good, and a central visual or theme is something that allows them to draw their attention. Now, we are just about at the point where we can do some design. And we're at 11:15, halfway. So we're going to get there. How about that? So what I've done is I put together a bit.ly link that is a resource archive of a number of different storylines that are storyboards that I've gathered over the years. Some I've borrowed from different colleagues. And what I'd love for you to do is take a look through some of those in just a few moments. But before we do that, I want to show you what the content of that handout is about. On the side that has a whole lot of words, those are really kind of the components of what you've seen so far in this presentation. The other thing, though, has to do with the kind of design that you want to go for with your storyboard. Because there are different kinds of ways of mapping a storyboard out. And mapping, getting a plan, getting a sketch together is a really, really vital way of being able to just start to, of starting to think about how you can help your students along that journey. The three ways that that I've presented on in other times are the linear storyboard, the cluster storyboard, and the anchor storyboard. Let me tell you a little bit about those. In the chronological design, we're thinking more about the month-to-month learning that we're doing in class. So we might have one or two or three engagements with our reflecting on what it means to be a Christ or a follower of Jesus in our biology class. Okay? Maybe there's going to be one experience where it's the introduction to the storyline, the introduction to this class. And students are going to have an index card that they fill out. And they I think that keeping God's world, let's just say that's the storyline, to me means I have to take out the trash or whatever. And so we'll have some areas there. Maybe then, the next day, they're going and they're actually living out some of the ways in which they're being earth keepers by by going and doing a soil sample of the soil right by the dumpster, finding out how healthy is the soil right here. Getting a picture of them doing some of that field work is a pretty amazing thing. And then, for a third engagement, maybe they're they're starting to research what are some plants that do a really good job at filtering out some of those chemicals that are spilling into the soil, leaching into the soil right by a trash can. Engaging in that month to month allows students to progress in that journey together. It also tends to take a lot of wide space because we've got 8 months, right? I have seen a lot of schools that they don't have that much wall space, and so then they do a reset, and that's an okay thing, you know. Another way of doing it is a thematic design. In this case, each of these areas, maybe having a student work section right up there, maybe having a photos section right there, field work in the middle, a flex right there, celebrations of learning, and then each of those has learning targets attached to each of those. For the field work, you might say the learning target might be something along the lines of, I can make a difference in my world. Something as simple as that. Or I can allow God to work through me in caring for others. And maybe that is related to field work slash flex that you're doing at a nursing home. And just designing it that way allows us to tie everything together and help students to see we're learning about God in this way, and in this way, and in this way. Here's an example of what that might look like. In this case, we've got Seek and Share God's Fingerprints written right there. You can see some of the through lines that are actually mentioned right there and ways in which they're living into those specific through lines. And finally, I made a mistake on the very top. I apologize. Just want to see. And then finally, we have an anchor, a driving question. Forgive me for making that mistake. Finally, the anchor allows us to go and keep our storyline, our depot, right in the very, very center of all of our learning. Continuing to refer to Unbreaking Together in my example, or God Reveals We Respond in my science classes. And allowing that deep hope to always be present so that students are understanding why are you in the place that God has called you to. Courageous contributors in this example allows us to see how in different books they're able to contribute They're seeing different people who do contribute. Ruby Bridges contributing to a sense of justice, to a literal justice in the world. Examples with these say Family One, Family Two, seeing how they were actually collecting money for raising raising money for farm animals for countries that are for people in countries that are less well-to-do than America. But it all starts with a sketch, and that's where we're going to get to do some things. Sketch has a few different areas, and these considerations are right on that sheet. So I'm not going to read through them all, but basically, the number two is the area where you can think, how do my students engage with my units, and how do my students engage with my hopes for their learning to love Jesus? Do you want to go and think about following teaching units? In my algebra class, I started thinking, oh, I want to do a topic one, topic two, you know, like unit-wise. I realized pretty quickly that was going to be pretty forced. And so instead, I started looking at following my experiences with my students, that D section there, and then connecting those with those long-term learning targets. Once you develop that sketch, it's important to engage with other people. And that's where this is one of those ideas that you can follow, having a tuning protocol where you share some initial design ideas, you listen to feedback from your partner, and you can ask some questions to spur your thinking. We're not there yet. Where we are is we're at a design time. And that design time gives us a little bit of time for us to think about maybe what we're already doing. How many of you, by the way, do have a storyboard in your classroom? It looks like really most people have one. How many of you wish your storyboard was more effective? Yeah, I mean, I do too, you know? And the thing is, that's where I'm really thankful that you decided to, you know, trust in me. And I'm also doubly thankful that we still have 20 minutes, because in 20 minutes we can start looking at what we already do. So perhaps what we can do right now is, first of all, I've been talking at you for all this time. Are there any questions or ponderings or reflections that you've got here?
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You said this year is the first year that you started up a second storyline. I guess I'm curious why. I don't know if it's because you added a new class and you needed one, or did you always have the second class but didn't use one, or try to use the same one?
So I didn't teach algebra last year. Before that, I did teach algebra one, and I tried to keep it under the umbrella of God Reveals, We Respond, which is my science storyline. I found that it didn't really work very well for my students. Mm-hmm. God reveals math, absolutely. We respond, well, my students' responses were not super encouraging to me, because they're like, ugh, why do we have to do this? Again, the why, the when are we going to use this in our lives? Which, if I like to think a lot of time is of the responses to God's fingerprints being kind of like finger painting on a piece of finger painting on a piece of paper versus finger painting on a wall. I'm going to be really pleased if my student, or if my little three-year-old, I don't have a three-year-old anymore, but if my three-year-old was finger painting on a piece of paper, can put that up, I'm going to be really proud of it. On the other hand, if they're getting all that paint in the carpet, I'm going to be pretty ticked off, right? And so the, but both of those are responses. That's where I came to realize that making the action, taking the steps towards taking the steps towards helping our students to really see why are they doing that. That made a difference, and the process was such an important thing. And so that's kind of where the brainchild of the second storyline came to be.
So now that you have two storylines, how do you set that up for storyboards in your room?
I've got two separate storyboards.
Okay, separate
ones. On separate sides of the room, yeah. So one, my larger one on one wall is for 7th and 8th grade science, and then I address that storyline over a 2-year cycle, or a 3-year cycle, because I was a 6th grade teacher last year as well. And then I have a second storyboard that's just a single over here. It's a lot smaller bulletin board. It also happens to be my my green screen. So behind the butcher paper, I've got some green fabric, and when we need to do some green screen, we've got to tear it down and put it back up. We'll see how that works. So thanks for asking. That was really good. Anybody else have anything?
I've got a couple. First, how much time do you spend with your students, like, unpacking the long-term learning targets?
Yeah.
Because you mentioned, you know, we want students to articulate, even if it's at their age-appropriate level, your deep hope. What about long-term learning targets? Do you spend a lot of time discussing those before you really put work out related to those?
I try to take nibbles, I would say.
Okay.
I try to do a minute or two each day, and then obviously a little longer time when we're actually writing down our reflections. That'll turn into more of a 15-minute kind of thing. So it ends up in a week being about a 20-minute. Well, not every week, but it turns out over about 2 weeks being about 20-25 minutes of work in doing reflecting on a specific learning target.
And then question two.
Yeah.
How do your students really interact with the storyboard outside of your putting their work and their pictures up?
So then, yeah, one of the habits that I've gotten into is saying, let's take some time and let's actually go by the storyboard. Maybe we'll have a circle where where they're sitting at the foot of it. And what's one of the reflections that really pops out to you? And that'll be kind of the other half of that 20-minute reflection. So taking some time for writing, putting them up, taking some time for actually observing and noticing. That makes a really big key. Now, at the same time, I want to also say I'm a middle school teacher, and I know the pressures of high school make it a lot more difficult. Because the kids are, the bell rings and they're out, right? And navigating that, I don't have a clear answer for that. That's where I would, you know, I need to do some more studying with that, with high school teachers. And also, I'm really eager to learn about that too. So, those are good questions. Anybody else? Cool. Okay. So on the back side of your paper, it's just a blank page, right? It's just a time for you to sketch. And what I'd like to do is maybe ask, do you want to have some time just to draw by yourself? Do you want me to walk around? Do you want to collaborate with each other? Any of those work? Go ahead.
I'd love to see the storyboard examples, but as I click that in, the link says it's an unbroken link. It's not letting me.
Oh, no!
It says like 404.
I got mine. I got it.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Okay, Christy and I both tried it.
I'll take it. Let me hop over and let me see if we can get it.
I got into the Teaching for Transformation site, but I think
this is something different. It is different. So let me take a quick glance. Maybe it's case sensitive.
That probably.
that made the difference.
You build on that.
place of work. I mean, this will be a long-term thing. So
I took a picture of one of the kids over there.
One place I wish I could go to is I'm going to be able to ask questions.
Yeah, because that was always a hard one for me. I'm like, I know it's there. But
that's it.
Now that I
that's a Christmas time. It takes that long. But it just that allows some of this to work. And this then also allows it. But I've had really limited success with virtual school boards. I've done it with master classes. And it's so
well, and this I would not say is great the last 2 years. It's just kind of the option. So then now I'm wondering if it's valuable as a student.
It's actually the same class in each of those rooms. So I was in the assumption that, like, you know, just think about these slides. It's just, you know, you have to have this. I was imagining, like, presence. You know, like, what you can, if you can go and zoom in and test about this one. And I found those terribly annoying. I don't know why that's appealing to me right now.
Because it works very straight.
Right. And then, because I do the agenda slides every day, that's kind of like, this is my home base. You know, this is where I walk into class and it looks like this every day. That's my way of reminding my space. Is what if I make a subsequent slide that I remember was this? Or maybe just maybe a change that I do there.
Your essential learning target.
Right, the module learning target.
Yes.
In the unit.
It is true.
By learning everybody's species, I'm going to see how I can be able to reach how much do you spend? Like, we just need to find it. Like, 6, 7, 8.
How much?
That's the other. I remember watching us tape.
I don't know. It was just a mess.
God, I love that.
An evangelist.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there was some of those moments where I'm like, no, y'all better look at that.
Yeah, that might be anything. I miss that too. Just like, yeah.
Project-based learning, which means that they're just really excelling in class, which is awesome. So there's all kinds of things like that. Okay, our time is already in that. Come on. Was it good? Okay. Did you? Good. I'm sorry I didn't get over to it. But, So, just in following with the same strategies that we usually do, there is a commit to try sketching and developing a storyboard timeline. Please feel free to send me an email if you want to get feedback or thoughts. I can do a Zoom conversation with you. I can drive over. I live in Grand Rapids, so Oakland is a little far and Muskegon's a little far, but you can send something back with Justin. Yeah, he lives just down the road. So, but I really do appreciate you taking time to work through this. And there was a statement again. I guess this is just the last thing. We use storyboards as the liturgy in our classrooms. How might we be better equipped to live as people who are loved by and transformed by God? So thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it. And,
thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.